Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hope you have a great weekend, or hope you had a great weekend. We're back for the work week, and we're getting closer. We're under 2 weeks for the Cubs and Sox to get started. End of July for the NBA and their bubble, and lots of video coming out of the NBA bubble. Lots of talk about NBA bubble life. I got some good sound to play from you from that. And the Hawks news. Hawks return to practice today, August 1st for them. Against Edmonton, in Edmonton, but doesn't sound like Corey Crawford could be a part of that. Pat Boyle is going to join us coming up at 5:30. Jesse wrote a story yesterday about this, Waddle. The headline read, "Yu Darvish swayed to play by teammates' conviction."
Yep, saw that.
And there was, you know, first, he wasn't even sure if he wanted to come to summer camp. And he said, quote, "It was a tough decision, but everyone is doing it as far as playing. Everyone has concerns, but everyone decided to play, so it makes it easier for me to make a decision." He did admit that he still has concerns. He says, "I don't want to be in the clubhouse. If I have the coronavirus or something like that, coming into the clubhouse and spread to everybody, that's not good." He said that back in March when he was sick because he was already a little fearful of COVID. But he's been... Basically, he summed up that he's been blown away by how well the protocols have been met by the Cubs.
And it probably he's encouraged by the way the guys are responding to it, seeing that guys, this is pure speculation, but based on his response, it leads me to this statement that he realizes everybody there is taking this seriously. And there aren't any real weak links here in terms of putting anybody else at risk. That's how I interpret what he's saying. Because that's going to be an enormous key, is it not?
Of course, yeah.
I mean, can you trust all of your teammates and those that are around the team to make sure that they do everything they can to be responsible and not put anyone else at risk?
We've talked about this before. What is it? Like, yes, they're certainly putting themselves at risk. But is the risk less because of testing and the protocols that they have in place than it would be if you were just in society? Wilson Contreras today said this, and this is from Jesse's feed, and Jesse's going to pop on here in a minute or two because he's got, I believe, some news on those six tests that were delayed today, and David Ross did not report just to make sure that if there's anything positive, they want to err on the side of caution. Wilson Contreras said this, Waddle. "The Cubs are doing their best they can to keep us safe in here," meaning Wrigley Field. "Every time I come here, I feel safe. Where I don't feel safe is on the street. Walking the street, that's the one place I don't feel safe."
That's been my contention all along. That when I hear everyone say, "Well, we're taking the risk," that's true. But anyone that's going to work is taking a risk. Whether you're working at a restaurant, you're working at a bank, wherever you work, everyone's taking a risk to go back to work. All those people I mentioned aren't surrounded by medical professionals and getting tested every other day. So I can make the case for you that while there's no 100% full fail-safe health, you know, way to do this, that they're probably in a more protective environment than they would be if baseball wasn't going on and they were just left to, you know, live their lives without Major League Baseball this year.
Yes, right. And I brought up this. I wanted to read you this note. Is Jesse ready, guys, by the way?
We just got him on the line, so he is ready.
All right. Well, but before I get to that point, let's get to Jesse because I do believe he's got some notes on this. So, Jesse, thank you for popping on. I know you have some news. Just give us the background for six tests were delayed, David Ross being one of them, and he did not go to Cubs camp today.
Right, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, why six, right? And it's just kind of a random number of people, and it could be five players and one manager, or it could be staff members, and we don't know exactly the breakdown, but here's the point. The way they test these things, you'll understand why it comes back that we have to wait on six. The tests are kind of done randomly in a group of other tests as well. So those six We're in a batch with, I don't know the what amount, X amount of other tests. They're all tested at the same time. Somebody in that group came back positive, not necessarily one of the Cubs, because, again, it's a larger group. It's at least 10 or more that are tested at the same time. Could be other teams. I don't know the breakdown, but somebody in the group of tests that included the six Cubs came back positive, possibly a false positive. We don't know. But in any case, when that happens, they have to go back and retest every one of those six, and then those results are shipped out or communicated to the Cubs. So that's why there can be delays like that. So it is possible, anytime you hear of a delay, that a Cub could test positive, or a White Sox player, if that's the case. But it's also part of a larger group of tests that were taken, and somebody in the larger batch was positive, but, which, again, in this case included six possible Cubs.
Let me ask you a question, Jess, if you know the answer. In that larger batch of players, or people, rather, are they all Cubs-related personnel, or are you suggesting they could be, that sample size could include members of the Milwaukee Brewers as well?
I believe that's the case. Yes, I believe that's the case.
Which is
the
case?
I'm not positive about that. It could be simply that it's separated into Cub ones, but I'm pretty sure that they test more than six at a time. See what I mean? So if it was in a larger group of Cub ones, well, maybe they, let's say they test 10, and four, you know, they've already retested four of them, have come back negative, and they're waiting on the other six. So I don't know the exact details, but all that is possible. But I just know that it's part of a larger group of tests, but I don't know if it's specific to the Cubs or not.
So this isn't one of those reasons like last week where just there's a problem with the shipping or something like this, that this is the protocol that you're saying, that there's a reason these six have been held up.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Somebody in that batch has tested positive. In the larger batch, it could be one of those six. We don't know. We'll hopefully find out by the end of the day, or certainly by first thing tomorrow. So that's what came up, guys, if you want to advance it, is what if this was a game day? What if this was a game day? Now, they have some backups ready more locally than, there's that lab in Utah, but they don't want to have to go to that, from what I understand. Theo even mentioned this last week, because that's where you're taking resources away from the average person here. So I still put it to Tommy Hotovy, who was filling in for David Ross today, what would happen? And he really didn't have a good answer. I mean, if the starting pitcher is among those six, for
he
example,
doesn't play.
He doesn't play today. And well, the Cubs are down potentially five players and their manager. It's insane, but that's what we're staring
at. If we want to play, that's the way you got to do
that's
it.
Right. That's the new landscape, and it may affect you one game. And you know what? You may be playing the Brewers, and they get a huge edge because all their guys are available to play. And then the next series, you may be in Cincinnati playing the Reds, and the Reds may be facing something like that. Look, something just tells me that there are going to be these moments, and you're just going to have to adjust and deal with them, and it's all a part of what 2020's been.
Yeah, what I talked to Tommy about, as well as, maybe, and he mentioned this, maybe this is the time where they iron out some of these details, and come game time, July 24th and beyond, they have backup plans and ways that something like this won't happen, where six are down. Now, if someone tests positive, that's a whole other thing. But you'd hate that six were held out of a game and those results come back negative, right? And he's hopeful, and I think everyone is, that they iron these things out, and there are ways to get this done on a game day. But I think you're right, Tommy. In the end, there's going to be some hiccups that prevent some players from playing. Talk about the gambling lines, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. You just have to minimize as much as you can.
I would say this too, guys, that like none of this is good. But to me, this sounds like a better quote-unquote problem than having trouble with testing and not getting results back
yes,
on time.
Right,
This is not a procedural issue. This is a protocol issue, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, I guess in a perfect world, they would test each of its own, right? Just do one test on each sample, and you'd get a negative or positive right there and then, instead of doing the groupings. But with over 14,000 tests being administered every week, it's just not feasible to test each one. So they do it in groups. If that group, let's say it's 10, is negative, they just move on to the next group. And so obviously, again, within this group that these six were in, somebody or more or multiple people tested positive. You just have to cross your fingers it's not a Cub.
All right. Any baseball news to relay while we have you on the line?
Well, and they're still working out some things on the mound. I mean, and they're not committed to Alec Mills as the fifth starter. They're not exactly sure who's going to be in the bullpen leading up to Kimbrel. I mean, Jeffries is a setup man. But yesterday I watched the scrimmage, and there were some good performances by some pitchers. The other day, the hitters had a good day. Yesterday, I think it was a 1-0 game, and I didn't count up all the strikeouts, but there was a lot of strikeouts in that game. It's just six-and-a-half-inning game. So maybe there'll be some bullpen arms emerge, because I'm telling you, without a bullpen in a 60-game season with a shortened spring training, man, teams are going to be in big trouble. You've got to have a bullpen. You know there's going to be matchups, especially with 30-man rosters. So yesterday was a good step in the right direction. A new guy, Casey Sadler, looked good, striking out some guys. John Lester actually looked good on the mound. He struck out four, I think, in two innings. So yesterday was the pitcher's day. That's my little baseball nugget for you.
Were you surprised, Jess, or pleasantly surprised that Theo seemed to be not only upbeat about things, but also seemed to be pretty optimistic about how everything is going along and that things will be adjusted to correctly?
Yeah, I think he's more optimistic about baseball, because I asked him the question, you know, baseball versus the country. I think he's more optimistic about baseball ironing out things, or, as we were just saying here, living with the hiccups and just moving forward. I think he's more optimistic about that than the country itself. And I asked him, you know, what will it take? Can baseball exist with chaos around it? And I think the answer is, to a certain extent, it can. You know, California is scaling back some things, and that has five teams in it. That's a big, big problem if they go real dramatic in terms of stay-at-home orders and things like that. So I think he's optimistic about baseball. The rest of the country, you know, every day is different. And you know, we still have about 10 more days, almost 2 weeks, till the regular season starts. Hopefully things can settle down in some areas and they can play baseball. But nobody knows what the answer is. You know, what would prevent them from playing? I think a massive stay-at-home order would be one of them, but we don't know.
I think that, listen, again, I think even in states that are having, you know, these outbreaks, I still think, like, look, you're better off being involved with your baseball team, being surrounded by doctors, getting tested every other day, and going home and maintaining a low profile and not getting out and doing stuff. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, so you must have saw my tweet by Wilson Contreras. He said exactly that. He feels safest at the ballpark. He said that today on a Zoom just an hour ago. He feels safest at the ballpark for good reason. Like you just said, they've done great things in terms of insulating them, and the medical people there. He's like, I don't feel as safe on the streets. And I think he just meant, like, in, you know, not literally necessarily on the street, but at a restaurant or somewhere like that. So you're so right. Home, ballpark, eventually hotel, ballpark. If the teams that do that, Tommy, we'll get through this much healthier.
Hey, how about that Zachary Hotel? There's probably some vacancy there, right? Just stay there and walk across to the ballpark.
Yeah.
That'd be easy. I mean, I think David Ross said that he sort of purposely, you know, this is his first year back in Chicago full time. He purposely moved close to the park in order to do that, just to make it convenient. Now, a lot of guys do it anyway, but I think during this COVID-19 era, you may as well be in walking distance. And so, I mean, the Cubs haven't had, knock on wood, one positive test from a player. Again, today's up in the air. Every day is up in the air. But amazing. That's amazing that they haven't had one. And, you know, no one's opted out. You know, that's if you're looking for baseball edges for the play on the field, well, there's one. Everyone's opting in and everyone's healthy right now. But, of course, that can change.
Well, Jess, outside of David Ross, who else is not, you know, is not showing up?
We don't know. It was one batting practice. They didn't do a scrimmage. The scrimmage would have told more. Like when Anthony Rizzo didn't play in a scrimmage 4 or 5 days ago, everyone knew something was up because the regulars would be in the scrimmage, right? Once in a while, a regular might get a night off, but you know, and Rizzo hasn't been seen since. He's actually progressing, but they didn't scrimmage today. So whoever's not in a scrimmage tomorrow, if it's a starter, then we'll know that the test results are still pending. But today, you just don't know, and they don't reveal those other five players.
All right, Jesse, great stuff. Thanks, you.
Jess. Okay, guys, have a great week. Talk to you soon.
And I don't think there's any reason to panic if a Cub does. And like, this is going to be the new normal. Like, I'm hoping it. You don't obviously want a whole team to get to. That's why you're testing every other day. So that way, once you can isolate, once you identify and isolate, that it doesn't spread amongst the team.
I'm telling you, I think you can make a strong argument for being involved in one of these professional sports bubbles or if you're not even in a bubble situation, but being a part of a professional sports team, whether it's a baseball team or a football team, that may be your safest go for the next several months.
All right, and there's some NFL chatter out there, too. It's not news, it's chatter, so we can play some chatter music coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, if you want to weigh in on the baseball issue, Kopech, the Cubs tests, and whether you're optimistic, Cubs have not tested positive for anybody yet during all this, a player. Dan Weider, our good friend from the Trib, a little chatter action, and him highlighting sort of what we've been talking about, not only on the air, but on our conference call today when we were going to get to the NFL. Dan from the Tribune said, in NFL circles, there seems to be an increased vocal emphasis on finding and pushing for ways to finish a season rather than merely being fixated on starting one. Will be interesting to see how this all evolves.
Again, I got a plan for you.
Yeah.
You want my plan?
Yes.
It's a simple plan. It's something I mentioned before.
You're a simple man with
a simple
plan.
I'm a simple man with a simple plan. That's right. My name's not Stan. Look, I think it's really... What is report day? Give me when do the Bears when are they supposed to report? Like, there's no Hall of Fame game, so there's no early reporting.
Like, I want to say like July 28th or
that was
30th.
I believe,
that
was
first days.
I think you're 28th. I believe.
Why don't we just start with a concept of moving it back 2 weeks? So why don't we show up for practice August 15th? Okay, we can even move that back further if you'd like. That gives you 6 weeks to the final weekend of September, which is what, two or three weeks pushed back from normal. Push it back 2 weeks. Push it back. Not way back. Just 2 weeks back. That buys you time to do a lot of different things. It buys you time to work harder on your health and safety protocol. It gives you time to actually observe what the NHL and Major League Baseball and the NBA are doing. That gives you time to get all of your testing, you know, requirements and stuff done. What's the rush? Like, if you played the Super Bowl the last weekend in February, if it's 3 weeks later than normal, what's the rush?
What if it's 6 weeks later than normal? As long as you get to a Super Bowl,
yeah.
Who cares if the Super Bowl is 6 weeks behind?
Yeah, I mean,
Major League Baseball is starting how many months late?
A lot, very, very. But they're only going to play 60-game schedule.
But the NFL, my point is, what do you have to worry about next season? You just have to get off to a start where next season isn't in jeopardy, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want the season bleeding into late March.
Why not?
If it's done right, why not? I'm just saying that wouldn't be at the top of my list. I mean, if I have to, I have to. At some point, you have to try and keep. At some point, you got to get back on a normal schedule.
I get that. I'm not saying your simple plan, being the simple man, I endorse. I'm a simple man, too. I wouldn't say, hey, let's all of a sudden move the Super Bowl to the end of March. I'm not proposing that. I'm just saying, what's the rush until you're almost certain that you can do all of this?
I don't know that you're ever going to get to that point where you feel, like, high percentage-wise comfortable that you've got this nailed down. Like, that may take you until February of next year to get started. I mean, there's going to have to be some uncertainty. You're going to have to deal with adversity here. Maybe they get started at the 1st of October, and if for whatever reason they got to shut her all down, maybe you go from a 16-game season to a 14-game season or a 12-game season. Are we playing 17 games this year or 16?
16 this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Not 17
I mean,
for a couple years.
Yeah. So, I think the NFL has always had an advantage over everyone else because they had time on their side. Well, why give up that advantage now? Why not just push it back a little bit?
Right. And now, if they're not playing any preseason games, which we all think they're going to get to, you don't need that 6 weeks of training camp, do you?
That's the point. Is so you get rid of all the preseason games, so you don't need as long a training camp. I just don't understand why you don't go ahead and do that anyway. I mean, bring guys in August 15th or even August 7th and get your testing in and get your protocol in. Guys can study, guys can do it, but we're not going to get onto the field until August 15th or maybe even later. I don't know why that with all things considered, maybe they could pull it off normal time, but why not take advantage of the fact that you have time on your side still?
Yeah, I think the goal of what Dan was tweeting and what we've been talking about is you don't want to have to shut things down in the middle of camp or in the middle of the first or second game. And there are some of these things that we don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful, like what I was telling you guys, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the air or off, like with these three sports right now, for me as a sports fan, I am hoping two out of the three can get to the finish line. Like, am I being greedy? I obviously want three of three. Am I being greedy that way? If you could tell me that two out of these three, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, I'm going to get to the finish line the end of October with two of them, I think I'd be pretty happy.
I think that there's a pretty high possibility of that. I think that the teams or the leagues in the bubble have a very good chance of getting it done. Now, you may be playing the Lakers against, you know, the Celtics with guys that you don't even know their names because they were playing on G League teams, some of them. That may be the possibility, but I am optimistic that those bubble leagues or the bubble situation in those two leagues, that they can get to the finish line, because the finish line isn't nearly as far ahead as it is for an NFL team. So
yes, you got a long way to go.
I think that's being optimistic. I don't think it's being too greedy to say, hey, I'd like two out of these three to get finished, because I think that's very possible.
Like I was mentioning to you the stats on, did you guys see the stats of New York as a state yesterday that the governor released?
Yeah.
So they tested in New York, and remember, New York was the hotbed early. The East Coast was a hotbed. They tested 62,418 people yesterday. Okay? Over 62,000 people were tested. 677 of those came back positive. That's a 1.08% positivity rate amongst those tested. New York learned. The state learned early. There was chaos. They learned. They're masked. And now they're living by the protocols we all should live by. Now, California and Texas and Florida are getting burned now. After getting burned, you got to learn. And I would hope that we wouldn't all have to learn, that we should learn from our other states' mistakes, that wear the damn mask and be done with it. And it's never going to be foolproof. People are going to test positive. But if we're smart and we wear masks and we distance ourselves, we have a great chance.
Well, I think all of that is going to be more possible for these major league sports or these professional sports team because of the protocol that they're following. Again, I think a Major League Baseball player, even though he goes to the ballpark and goes home every day, he's going to be safer, more than likely, running that schedule versus somebody coming in and saying Major League Baseball season is over. We can't do this. So your commitment is over until 2021. Well, I take my chances with them having baseball and being safe versus not having baseball and staying safe. Because then you kind of fold into the rest of the community, and I'm not saying that everybody is irresponsible or not protecting themselves, but I think you got a hell of a lot better chance keeping yourself healthy when you've got doctors all over and you're getting tested every 2 days versus just going ahead and being a normal Joe.
Yeah. All right. So a lot to do today. We're going to check in with Pat Boyle in the 5 o'clock hour on the Blackhawks. They were back at practice, but maybe no Corey Crawford. We've got Josh McCown, our good friend, to talk about life in the NFL and what they're faced against and his thoughts on the Bears, because the national crew
does not
boy, are they down on the Bears.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh.
There's a lot to get to on that. So Waddle's World is coming up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World.
Weird.
Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Hey, Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Get weird, guys. Let's get weird. Before we get weird, let's get real. Washington team to officially retire Redskins' nickname and the logo. The franchise made the historic announcement this morning after an internal review that began July 3rd. Owner Dan Snyder and coach Ron Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach, according to a team statement. So
a lot of names have been floating around, and Carmen was throwing out a lot of the rumor.
Give me
names.
One.
The Red Tails,
right,
is one that seems to have gotten a lot of momentum on social media, which, because that honors the an African American, fighter division. Yeah. I saw. Did you guys see this one? The pigskins as a possibility,
right? That way you keep skins in it, and remember
their offensive
line called the Hogs?
Yeah, the '80s linemen were the Hogs, famously.
So the pigskins.
You don't like that, Waddle? No.
I think you got to take skins out of the name, though.
I would think so.
Hey, we're not being racist anymore. Like, I mean,
the Washington. Hey, we're not being racist anymore.
See.
Is that what you were saying?
That's got a good ring to it, doesn't it?
That's the one thing, though. It's an interesting point that you make, Sylvie, because then I always find it weird, like, the idea
let's
of
get weird.
Going to Red... If you go to Red Tails in the hopes of honoring... like, anytime you pick a group of people, I think you're getting into a weird territory. I think you're better off just going with whether it's an animal or some type of weather-related thing. I think you're much better
weather-related thing.
Hurricanes,
the Washington rain showers.
No, hurricanes.
They're Washington sunny with a chance of rain.
Hurricanes, lightning. That's more what I was thinking of.
Our women's soccer team. We're the Reds, aren't we? The Red Storm,
Red Stars.
Red Stars. Okay, we're the Red Stars.
The Red Storm was St. John's, right? St. John's.
St. John's Red
Storm. Red
Storm,
I think.
Okay. The Red Stars. Damn it.
We've
always got like some sort of a wind thing, don't we?
Am I off base, though, at this point where like naming it after any group of people is maybe a bad idea?
You want to name it after an animal?
I think animals are safe. I think you're probably not going to offend.
Names, yeah.
You're not going to offend too many people.
And the Cubs.
How about like a bulls. Like a tree? Name them after a tree.
The oaks.
The Red Oaks.
Red Oaks. There you go. Washington Red Oaks.
They supposedly they have their name, and
it's
the NFL
tied up
wants,
in
a trademark thing. I saw that Shefty alluded to that. Charles Robinson has alluded to that. And that the NFL wants them to move quickly.
I find it odd, and maybe odd is the wrong word. But again, and I think Ron Rivera is a very competent football coach. B, I think Ron Rivera is a good man. C, Ron Rivera is just cool. So everything about Ron, he double thumbs up from me. I just think it's odd that they're asking him to play such a large role in something that has been, people have been asking for change here for over 40 years. Ron's been on the job for six months.
It's a big task.
I'm not saying that it's Ron's not competent. That's a lot. He's just trying to coach his football team.
Like, how about consulting a brand management corporation?
Something.
You know, as opposed to your head football coach who's probably worried about other things.
To put it in context, Waddle, as if Ron Rivera doesn't have enough on his plate to figure out who the damn quarterback is with the Redskins.
Right.
Or the Washington football team right now. He has to get his team through a pandemic And now he has to work for one of the worst owners and be like the front man in this big name change.
Right. That's why I'm saying
that's a lot on someone's plate.
There's no doubt. Rocket star Russell Westbrook tests positive for COVID-19. He announced the diagnosis today on social media, says he tested positive before the Rockets were scheduled to travel to Orlando for the NBA's restart. I believe he sent out a post, didn't he? He said he's feeling well and he's taking care of things. And he's
minimum symptoms, minimal symptoms. Now, is Harden's not in the bubble yet, is he? Is he? Because both of these guys were delayed, right?
Yes,
they originally announced they weren't traveling with the team. Has Harden reported?
I do not see that being reported here.
So if he hasn't reported, could that be the case with him too?
Maybe he's chairman of entertainment inside the bubble, and he's got his hands full with that.
Few last loose ends he needs to tie up.
I think
if he's chairman, then they're off to a bad start.
What was it, Sylvie, that you sent us? Like life in the bubble or whatever the thing was?
There's a great follow. If you don't follow this person, and we don't know who it is, I found this over the weekend. I believe it's at NBA Bubble Life. And it's somebody on the inside of the bubble who is constantly tweeting out videos. A lot of times he'll just take stuff off of people's Instagram accounts and share it. But he knows someone. So it's called at NBA Bubble Life. And all it is great stuff from inside the bubble.
Wasn't there a post from allegedly a post?
Yeah,
or was that good just for good fun?
No, that was a real person.
Post from a woman that said that she's been invited to the bubble?
At ugly underscore Anna. So ugly Anna tweeted out, I already got invited to the bubble. Yeah, the season definitely ending early. And NBA Bubble Life retweeted that with the quote tweet, we got our first bubble bound flyout. So,
But how would she get in? Like someone tweeted me, one of our fans, saying that the way to make this work is to let them have women inside the bubble. How are they going to be like, they're not allowed right now. No guests are allowed.
No.
So how would she be allowed in?
I don't
know. She could be invited all she wants.
Maybe she,
they sneak her in as part of the catering,
the underground, tunnel system in Disney. Sylvie,
listen, can you really, like, I'm watching Ray Donovan. I'm in halfway. I'm almost at the end of season 4 of Ray Donovan.
You are the biggest ginger I know.
I am. There's an answer to everything. Call Ray Donovan in. He'll get you fixed up,
dude.
A fixer out there.
I went to college. We had floors. It wasn't co-ed floors. We were separated by sex. You had to have the.
I was separated by sex for 4 years in college.
Yeah.
But what we would do is we just, someone would, after hours, someone would leave the door ajar with something.
How we got
and
cakes.
Then people
it's
would
not in the middle listen. Of a pandemic. I get it in college and in training camp, but dude, this is when we've got money. Like you always say, Waddle, follow the money. If this gets compromised and we're bringing in people and then they expose these players to COVID, a lot of money gets lost.
By the way, Bruno Caboclo, I don't know how to pronounce his name, from the Rockets, has broken NBA quarantine rules. He left his room at Walt Disney World during the NBA's initial quarantine period because he was unaware that he was not allowed to do so, league sources said.
I didn't know there was a rule about leaving.
He will have to undergo enhanced COVID testing in addition to a mandatory 10-day quarantine.
Because they can't go to any of the parks because those are all obviously being...
No, I know it. That's him. He's like, I didn't know there was a rule about leaving. Well, yeah, sure you didn't know.
He was riding Space Mountain while he was meeting up with Ugly Anna.
No, he was trying to ride Space Mountain. But they couldn't get her in. Whoa! I don't even know if that made sense.
I did. I liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
How about this? Some NFL stars are joining A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez's bid to purchase the Mets. Brian Urlacher, Travis Kelce, DeMarco Murray are part of a group of investors who have joined the power group or power couple of A-Rod and J-Lo in a bid to buy the Mets. The group has already submitted its initial bid of $1.7 billion. Hedge fund billionaire Stephen Cohen has made a top bid so far of $2 billion, according to a report.
That's pretty cool to get on A-Rod's Rolodex, A-Rod and J-Lo's Rolodex. Hey, do you wanna contribute? And Urlacher's got that new hair money. You know that those billboards.
I don't think that's Major League Baseball franchise kind of money.
What about a minority owner in? I mean, look, those billboards are everywhere. Waddle,
He's the
spokesperson for hair.
You're right. I mean, even let's just say for round numbers, I have no idea that they gave him a mil for that promotion.
Oh, more than that. Come on now. With all the billboards?
No.
You don't think he got more than a million?
I don't. I don't know, but I wouldn't think so. Anyway, it's a big price to, like I said to you, I think 5 years from now, Major League Baseball, they'll be fine financially. But is now the right time to come in and buy the Mets at $2 billion?
I think it's never a bad
never
time.
Never a bad time to have a piece of
money. If you have money,
that's the
long play is you're going to make money.
That's normally how I feel. Definitely, that's how I've kind of advertised how I felt about it for a long time. I just wonder if, you know, like now is not the right time to be investing in a premium price for Major League Baseball team. But
30 of them, and there's only two in the biggest city.
Right.
In America.
Did you guys see Oakley has the Oakley Mouth Shield is a product designed by Oakley in collaboration with doctors and engineers from the NFL and NFLPA.
Charles.
To mitigate the spread of the coronavirus on the field.
This is from Oakley Sunglasses?
Yes, it's expected to be distributed to all 32 teams over the next week.
Not Charles.
Now, if you see it, it's something that you could actually somewhat get on board with. I don't know how many people, like I read... Part of the I read an article where J.J. Watt said, no chance, I can't breathe in anything like that. He said, if it comes down to that, you won't see me on the field, if it's that or nothing. But if you look at it, it actually makes a little bit of sense. It looks like it does.
I do think that things like that, like you're playing football. If you're going to play football on the field, the key is to have negative tests, not masks that are going to allow football players to, you're still going to be, because the key is you're going to be closer than 6 feet apart playing football. You know, I don't know what mask you're wearing.
I don't think the mask is going to do it.
Yeah, it seems, and then you're going to just, all your players are going to be annoyed that they're trying to wear this.
Yes. Hey, when we come back, a Chicago-centric story, a sports story, a couple of nonsensical stories, and then a little something we like to call Florida or Ohio.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Guys, if you were planning on running in the Chicago Marathon, it's been canceled. My guess is there's nobody that's part of this show unless Sean Davis, who's in for Adam Abdallah today, unless he was planning on running the marathon. Were you planning on running the marathon this year, Sean?
Unfortunately, not this year.
Okay, so Sylvie's not.
3 years to prepare for.
Me too. I don't like being in the car for 26 miles, much less being on the road running for 26 miles.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. So none of us are going to run the marathon, nor is anybody else. Bank of America's Chicago Marathon 2020 canceled, obviously, due to COVID-19. Refunds are offered by the organizers.
Right.
You know, I didn't realize this until my daughter ran. She's run it consecutive years, is that it's an enormous...
training?
No, it's they
money,
raise
money,
so
yeah.
much money
fundraisers.
For charity.
Oh, yeah.
You can only run in it, I think, if you get like $1,500 or $2,000 worth of donations.
I think you know what? The inspiration for many happens because of that. Like they run for somebody. And it's an amazing thing. But look, it's just not feasible right now with what the way our city is stretched right now. A lot of these charity runs have done virtual runs where they've tried to raise money. And obviously a lot of the other charities are down and suffering because of that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but this was kind of, I think, an expected conclusion. Four mysterious objects are spotted in deep space, and they are unlike anything ever seen before. This is courtesy of the Live Science website. Mm-hmm. There's something unusual lurking out in the depths of space. Astronomers have discovered four faint objects that at radio wavelengths are highly circular and brighter along their edges. And they're unlike any class of astronomical object we've ever seen before. The objects, which look like distant ring-shaped islands, have been dubbed odd radio circles or orcs for their shape and overall peculiarity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, peculiar. I have a problem saying peculiar, too.
Peculiarity. Hey, listen, you know what it is? They don't know it's Uranus, and they just have they can't decide. They can't tell.
Now, this freaks you out. You're running from
science.
It.
Yeah, I know, science drives me nutty.
We know what it is. We know that it's another
Uranus.
It's another life form on their way here.
Or it's Uranus.
They're traveling. They're traveling.
Is Uranus still a planet?
Yes, Uranus is a planet.
It's Pluto not. Pluto's a dwarf planet.
Is Uranus one of the furthest from the sun?
I believe it is the, yes.
It's more than an arm's length distance unless, you know. Survey shows nearly two-thirds of Americans believe their sleep routine is permanently ruined thanks to lifestyle changes from the pandemic. About half of participants...
How do you know it's permanently?
Get out of bed 10 minutes before remote workday starts. That's what they're saying. Jeff, I don't run the studies. I just report on them.
Okay. Just checking.
So wait, you know they're saying people are sleeping later? What are they saying here?
Two-thirds of Americans believe their sleep routine is permanently ruined.
Ruined.
Thanks to it. Yeah.
Huh.
Ruined.
Well, I would think when you work from home, if you are getting up later because you don't have to get ready, you know, just prepare a little bit so you're on the Zoom call, you look presentable. And then you could sleep in. I would think that people are sleeping in more than ever if you don't have kids.
Yeah. Quite possibly. Did you see? I haven't seen this video. I heard it was pretty good. Great white shark attacks a boat and takes a chunk out of an engine in a nail-biting encounter.
Where was this at?
A gigantic great white shark has been filmed lunging at a fishing boat before taking chunks out of it in the heart-stopping encounter caught on camera. This happened in Perth, Western Australia.
Okay.
On Friday, July 10th. Are you afraid of sharks?
Yes, absolutely.
There was a shark in South Carolina, 5 feet off out from the shoreline when we were there.
When I was in Mexico in December, oh, wasn't that great when we could travel? There was a shark warning that everyone had to get out of the water.
Yeah?
Yes. They had a boat out there, and they spotted a shark, and they told everyone to get out.
Yeah, this shark was like kind of a baby shark. I mean, it was probably...
Baby shark.
Probably 3 foot long. But, yeah, I don't know the baby shark song, but there was a shark.
Yes, you do. Everyone knows.
I do not.
The Washington Nationals use that as their rallying cry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's great. It's fantastic, but I don't know anything about it.
Do you want Malika's got testing results from the bubble. Do you want that really quick?
Yeah, let's have that, and then we got to play Florida or Ohio.
Okay. 322 players have been tested for COVID since arriving on campus in Orlando. And...
How many? There's, how many?
Two have tested positive.
And no. How many have been tested?
322, and yep. Two have tested positive.
See, like that. That's encouraging.
Really encouraging.
Yeah, this is going to happen, guys.
So that
that's what 0.33%. Do I know my math?
Yeah,
it's good. It's
even
good
less. Even less than that, Sylvie. Okay. But that doesn't would that not include Russell Westbrook then, because that's arriving on campus in Orlando and he has not arrived.
These are the ones who have been tested inside the bubble. It says of the 322 players tested for COVID-19 since arriving on the NBA campus on January 7th, two have returned confirmed positive tests while in quarantine. Those players never cleared quarantine and have since left campus to isolate at home or in isolation housing. Good news.
That is good news.
Let's play some basketball.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio.
A penis.
And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
All right, guys, Florida or Ohio. Here's the story. Hillsboro woman suing her neighbor for a goat paternity test.
Didn't you just give away the town?
Yeah, that's in Florida. Hillsboro.
Well, it's two Hillsboroughs. They're in both states.
Okay, ooh, that's good research by you,
good
Sean.
Call. Yeah. Good call.
Chris Hedrum first threatened to take her neighbor, Heather Daner, to court in February if she didn't provide DNA for a goat paternity test. Hedrum filed a civil lawsuit against Daner at the end of May, asking for a refund of the goats she purchased from Daner, plus court costs and lawyer fees or DNA to prove their lineage. Hedrum paid Daner $900 for five Nigerian dwarf goats in December: Bella, Gigi, Rosie, Zelda, and Margot. Dana said the father goat, Country Caprice Ace, was registered with the organization.
What's his father's name?
His name is Country Caprice Ace.
What does that look like on a goat driver's license? I mean, can you shorten that?
CCA.
He was registered with the American Dairy Goat Association. The children weren't registered, and when Hedrum went to register the goats, she found out that the registration had run out for the father.
I'm going with Florida regardless. I think long, think wrong. I'm going with my first reaction, and that was Hillsborough, Florida.
Okay, I'm going to go with Cleveland, Ohio.
Ooh,
where the Cubs, where the Cubs actually won and forgot about the goat.
Yeah. All right. Are we in the middle of the dairy land? I'm going to go with Ohio as well.
This story was filed in Odessa, Florida.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. All right, there you go. Waddle wins. We all win when we talk NFL with Josh McCown. Is he a Trubisky guy or a Foles guy? And what did he think about who was choking Jay's chickens?
What?
Josh McCown joins us in 2 minutes.
Take